We get really dressed up and make people laugh. And that's the best way to get through life, right? Is to roll a joint and laugh. We try to encourage that.
This is the Canna Mom Show, a podcast chronicling the inspiring stories of real women in the emerging cannabis industry. Your host, Joyce Gerber, mom, lawyer, political activist, has been speaking with women from coast to coast and around the world who are leaders in the revolution of cannabis and caregiving. Continuing on her mission to lift up the stories of the women creating the cannabis industry by sharing their canna stories with you. So go make yourself a cup of tea or roll yourself a joint, sit back, and learn something new about this magical plant on The Canna Mom Show with Joyce Gerber.
From the Tip O'Neill Studios in North Cambridge, Massachusetts, it's The Canna Mom Show. Now here's your host, Joyce Gerber.
And welcome back to The Canna Mom Show, where we continue on our mission of crushing cannabis stigma. Happy Women's Month, Dave.
Yes, happy Women's Month to you is what I should say to you. I guess I'm still allowed to celebrate it, even though I don't have the right equipment.
We welcome you in, and I just okay. You know. We do celebrate women every day on the Canna Mom Show, so it isn't that unusual. But in case you forget, women are here. We're going to celebrate them for a month.
A whole month. Next thing, you're going to want 2 months, and then you're going to want the whole year. It's the way it goes.
The Supreme Court has their way. No, we will go backwards. All right, so do you see my mug? I'm like Cup of Joe.
Cup of Joe with right. Uncle Joe Biden on there. Nice.
All right, so I worked the election. I'm like invested in all this. I worked all day yesterday, 15 hours, the whole deal. And I have decided that the thing about Joe Biden.
What?
He's doing his job while old.
Yeah. Those are two things that are definitely correct about him. He's doing his job. And yes, he is old.
And I'm proud of that. I'm going for it. I have a mug.
Okay. The old Joe mug. Yeah, he it's just a little disturbing that no matter who we get, they're both going to be old. I mean, Joe Biden's 2 years younger than my dad. My dad is, God bless him, he's hanging in there, but he's slowed down. I wouldn't want him running the country. I don't trust him.
They get a lot of people around. And the thing is, you know what? It's really hard to get old in this country, which I have learned from taking care of my mother. He's got a whole staff. He's got a lot of people there.
That's
true. They're caring him. They're keeping him up. They're keeping him fed. He exercises. They water him. He is good.
Okay.
All right. So,
you know what?
He's doing a job while old. It's possible. It's like when I said, like, I graduated from law school and I took the bar while pregnant. So I proved that a woman's uterus and brain could work simultaneously. Well, he is proving that old people can lead.
Yeah. They can lead. Well, they get a lot of wisdom. I don't know. I've always thought I've heard people who've, even Democrats, who say that his first term and hopefully not his only term, hasn't been encouraging, hasn't been successful. I think he's just a nice guy doing the best he can. That's what he is. He's definitely smart.
And normal. Like,
yeah.
The world is getting normal. That's
right.
I don't want drama. I don't want to know what he's doing every day. I really don't give a shit what he's doing every day, honestly. So I am happy. I don't know what's really going on. The country seems fine. We're going forward. The Supreme Court, we got issues. But, you know, for the most part, it's better for me and the people around me. And I work elections. So I would like to keep working elections. That's what I hope for. So I hope after this election, there are still elections for me to work for. That is my dream.
I think that's safe to say they're going to be elections. By the way, updating previous reporting on the Canna Mom Show, Justice Clarence Thomas still has not accepted comedian John Oliver's offer to pay him $1 million a year just to come off the bench. Too bad.
All right. Switching subjects. Jews in weed. So if you are a Jew in weed and you are going to be at NECAN Boston in March, we are holding an event March 21st. Reach out to me. Love to have you there. If you want to support us, love that too. We're out there. We're proud. We're Jews and we're going to get together in Boston.
We need a motto. We need a motto for this too. Like take a knish, take a hit. No, that's terrible. I'll work on it.
Okay, all right. We actually do have a show today. All right. So do you remember a few weeks ago, I talked about, I was excited about the infused dinner in my hood at the Urban Hearth restaurant?
Yeah.
That is actually being postponed, but we have the amazing mother-daughter team behind the Green Lady Dispensary in Nantucket and Newton. So they're going to be here talking about maybe another dinner, maybe what they're doing on TikTok. It's going to be good. We're going to find out. So stay tuned. They'll be here in about a half hour. And cannabis and culture. My Canna Romance is done, Dave. It's out there every single episode, every single chapter.
Yeah, I get it in serial fashion because you've been sending out a chapter at a time, right?
Well done.
It's good. Sure. It's like a cliffhanger. Each email is a cliffhanger.
So if you like to read romance, you like cannabis, there it is. Go check it out. I might print out some real copies and give them away for Mother's Day. So I don't know. It's just another, it's all content, Dave, right? It's just content.
It's all about the content. Yeah. And sure. As far as we know, the first canna-centered romance novel, right?
I'd say I made it up. I had an idea for a new genre, canna romance, because there's people out there who would read it. Mm-hmm. And I know them.
Yes.
So that's my pitch to you, agents. If you want to sell my book, I'm not doing it. And one last thing, the hemp guitar campaign is in full swing. We have a sexy video of the guitar coming maybe next week.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. And Josh is in it playing because I insisted when they showed me the cut. I'm like, where's Josh? Josh should be in it. I'm a Jewish canna mom. My son needs to be in the video.
When rock's not enough, take a puff. How's that?
Oh, that's interesting.
Nothing that still needs work.
I'm heading down to Nashville in end of March to get it. So it'll be here at the Good Dispensary in Somerville, Massachusetts for a couple of weeks. And then we're going to be doing a live podcast there on 420 and giving away at 420. So if you're interested and you want to get it, go to Lampkin Guitars and you can enter and it could be yours. You can smoke it. You can play it. Like, I got to say, it's very sexy. It's over, but it comes over the bowl a couple of times. It almost looks like a Saturday Night Live commercial, like it's a joke.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny because that would be the type of thing that they would lampoon. Just like when John Hamm was on SNL and did a fake ad for John Hamm, which is Hamm on a roll that you enjoy in the John, which as far as I know, it doesn't actually exist, but the hemp guitar really does.
Right. If you're listening, Saturday Live, we got a guitar for you. All right. Lordy, lordy, lordy. All right. So we're going off. Come back to you. All right. Today we actually do have a guest. So thanks, Dave. And again, the hemp guitar is out there. I talk about it endlessly and it'll be a video soon up on my website. All right. Thank you. All right. So today's guest is an artist with a dramatic canna journey of healing with plant medicine and finding ways to create music and beauty to help others find healing as well. She has a Boston connection at one of our esteemed conservatories, loves to bake, and is a mom who has been able to heal herself so she can care for her girls. I'm looking forward to sharing her story, finding out what she's baking, and maybe she'll even sing for us. Please welcome to the Canna Mom Show, Rachel Burns. Welcome.
Hi, Joyce. Thanks for having me.
All right. So let's just kind of step right into your health story, because that's how Canna connects. Just, you know, a little bit about your health and your journey, how you got to this point and how you found cannabis and then what you're doing. We'll get on to the next after that.
Yeah. So my health was never that great in my adult life. So when I was in my early 20s and I was going to college and I was working full time to pay my way through college and I was going to college full time in Boston, I developed Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in my early 20s. And so I started using cannabis for the pain. And I was going to school for opera at New Conservatory. So I was not into smoking. And I used to bake if I needed it or make toast or cinnamon toast or garlic toast or whatever. Oh, I would make the oil. And this was way back in the 90s.
And so were you actually like baking it in your oven, like making the whole place smell and making your butters in the oven? How are you doing it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Go over, make it in the oven, and then old school, the cheesecloth and the whole nine yards. And then I started making cookies and the sugar wasn't great for me. So I had to move to like more butters and stuff like that to just add to salads or whatever I was eating. So that really helped dull the pain, the acute pain. And then I was married, had kids, and I found a lump in my breast in my 20s. And I went to Brigham and Women's and they gave me a mammogram and they said, oh, you're too young for breast cancer. So don't worry about it. It's probably just a lump. It's probably benign. Just go on with your life. So then I got pregnant with my first daughter at age 30, and I had the same lump, but it was getting bigger. So I went into my primary care and she said, oh, well, you just have mastitis. So I treated it as such, and it kind of stayed there even through breastfeeding, but it didn't really grow. So I didn't really think of it. And then with my second daughter, I was then 33, 34. I was breastfeeding. I had her at 33. I was breastfeeding. And then I got the lump started growing bigger and I couldn't pump correctly out of my left breast. So I was like, I'm fine, because I was an alkaline vegan from the time I got Crohn's disease in my 20s, and I don't drink alcohol, and I was breastfeeding, and I was really active and doing all of this stuff, and I was young. I was 35. So I didn't think that it could be breast cancer. It was like the farthest thing from my mind. And I was very positive and upbeat and always like the life of the party. So it would just be strange. I wasn't aware. And then I went in and she was like, nope, it's breast cancer. So I had the biopsy, everything. And then it turned out I had stage 3 breast cancer at age 35. My youngest daughter was 10 months old. I was still breastfeeding her. And my oldest daughter had just turned 4. So it was sort of the wind knocked out of my sails. And leading up to it, I've always been a singer. So I had a band and we were really getting some momentum. We were doing jazz in DC at this point, and I was working real estate like 70 hours a week and providing for my family. And I didn't understand that I had so much stress in my life.
Yeah.
Wasn't smoking or ingesting any cannabis when I was pregnant or breastfeeding. So it had been like 4 years where I didn't have any marijuana. And then all of a sudden it just grew. I don't know if that there's any correlation, but there certainly is a timing that kind of lines up there. And then I got diagnosed. I had immediately stopped breastfeeding. And a week later, I'm in chemo. And I just realized I have to start smoking again because, yes, I'm taking this chemotherapy and the radiation and the mastectomy, but I'm going to need to like dull the pain like I did when I had acute Crohn's, and this might help. So after about 2 chemo treatments, and I had 8 very, very severe chemo treatments, my doctor couldn't believe how much the lump had disappeared that quickly. And then about 4 months later, I had the mastectomy and they found T nodes in my arm. They did find that the tumors had shrunk to almost nothing in the breast. I had 3. And then I've just spent 10 years since that time. I had my mastectomy 10 years ago this week.
Wow.
10 years.
Okay. Can I go back to you kind of like, so where were you getting your plant medicine? Like, were you growing it? Were you like getting it from a friend? Did you know how to dose yourself? Like, what were you doing? Like, this is always my message. I'm like, how do you do this? How do you heal yourself, people? Because I hear this so many times. It's like, and then you guys become evangelized and want to show other people because you're like, I think you're like almost pissed. You're like, why do you know about this? Why was it this part of my opportunity? You know what I mean? So yeah, how were you doing that?
I have friends in low places.
Okay. You might be an opera singer and into jazz, but not.
Yeah. I got friends in low places. Yeah. That's just how we used to do it in the 90s and early 2000s. And yeah. I'm from Massachusetts. It's like a month before they made it legal. It was just ridiculous to move to Virginia. But I was always underground about it because I was a businesswoman and a mom, and I live in DC. So still a lot of people in my circle do not know, because I'm a mom first and I'm in this type A town here in DC.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, people judge you. I mean, everyone drinks, but nobody, I don't know.
Why we have to exist, and that's why we have to talk about it, because bad for you, ladies. All right.
I've known a lot of women this year that have stopped drinking and their life has completely changed.
All right. So you have this dramatic story. You're 10 years clean. You're going through this. So who's Beth Fairchild? How does she connect to what you're doing now? And how did that get to where you are at this moment? Yeah.
Yeah. So Beth Fairchild is one of my best friends. I met her when she was diagnosed 10 years ago as well. And she was diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic breast cancer. And they gave her a very short expiration date. And she was freaking out. She's around the same age as me. And we met on an online community platform for cancer patients. And she said, if anybody is driving through my town in North Carolina, come stop by. I don't know anybody my age with breast cancer. And I was like, I'm coming by actually in a month down in North Carolina. I'll just swing by. So I went by with my kids and we sat down and I just told her, you're not going anywhere. Try the plant. And she is still here. I don't know if it has anything to do with it, but she's still here and way outlived that first expiration date that the doctors give people with metastatic cancer, which is so awful. But she's completely, the cancer is dormant in her and she's living her breast life. And we run a cancer organization called Cancer Culture.
So you are creative. I love creatives. I created a creative. My son is the one who made the guitar. So I'm a rock mom.
Yeah, awesome.
All right. Yeah. And he went to Berkeley. So I love the conservatory Boston connection as well. So you're creative and you're using your energy like right here. So, all right. Yeah. So I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about what you were doing, your creative part in Boston, and then how you're using this creative energy that you own in the world of breast cancer awareness and healing people and helping others, because that's the best gift we can give ourselves, really, giving to people.
Yeah. So we do, we put on some events throughout the year for cancer patients, mostly metastatic patients. And we do fashion shows. So we did New York Fashion Week 6 years. So there's been about 20-25 cancer patients that have walked in that each year. And then we did Milan Fashion Week this year. And we had a lot of Italian women because it is a very hush-hush disease in Italy. There isn't a lot of awareness. So they're just on the first step of awareness campaigns. So we did a fashion show there for Milan Fashion Week. And then with mostly Italian women. And then we do a concert here that I lead with my band, the What a Nasty Woman Band in D.C. And we're an 11-part, 4 female singers as lead. And we do 4-part harmony and lots of fun 70s woman empowerment songs, including my original woman empowerment song. So we do that here every year for cancer patients. And they come in and they sing on stage our live band and have that experience of being vulnerable, just like walking into New York Fashion Week. And then we also do retreat where we get together and we talk and we do some healing together. So we do that with dozens of cancer patients every year, and it's just really great. And it's transformative for people to walk through that vulnerability, but in a positive way this time instead of a negative who went through cancer.
That's interesting.
Well, that's a nice way to think of it. I mean, we're all vulnerable and scared and self-preservationist. So just own it. People own it and just walk through it and it'll help you heal. I don't know that thing that owning that and healing is so powerful. All right. Let's see. Canamomming. So you are a Canna mom, obviously. How old are your girls now?
So my girls are 14 and 11.
Okay.
They're great girls. They're both creatives as well. And they're just really nice girls. And when I was going through chemo, my kids were very, very little. And I couldn't walk for a while. And I'd have a little bit of a gummy or a little smoke somewhere off where they wouldn't find me. They still don't know. I'm very covert about this, undercover about it, but would be able to dance with them and laugh with them and get up where I couldn't move off the couch. So that was really transformative. There's so many benefits to de-stressing with cannabis that helped me heal, because I didn't realize how much of a stress ball I was and how much of the world I was taking on my shoulders as a mom and a businesswoman and a musician. And all the other things that I was, friend, family member. And you really have the weight on your shoulders as a mom in this world. And I didn't realize how much stress I was taking on until I got the cancer diagnosis and had to walk through 7 surgeries and all the other pain that came with the cancer recovery, that cannabis was the way I got through it. Cannabis was the way I got through some of my hardest days.
So with your girls are teenager. So what do they know? Like, what do they know about cannabis? What's their relationship with it? I know there's like still so much shame. We talk about this endlessly on the show. People don't even know where the shame comes from. So we have to like decompress that. And I could go into my kid's school with a big shirt that said, I'm a wine mom, and people would have applauded me. But if I, back in the day, was wearing a big stoner shirt, no one would have talked to me. But I'm like a lady who wears pearls and plays tennis, so no one expects that of me. So what is, and so I understand the Washington, D.C. mentality. I don't know. Like, so what is the expectation? Are you, we're crushing the stigma by being existing. So you exist. So you're out there doing your thing. So how does that work in your family and your friends, I guess?
Yeah, only a few people have I ever directly told, but I do sing some songs on stage, with the, which I think that sometimes when people come that are mom friends of mine to a show, they're kind of shocked. And I'm very overly dramatic about it. I do like a cabaret type of over the top about it. And so they find out that way. And I don't know, probably there is shame in the community about it. Like there's probably some whispers about it, but you know, it is what it is, and it's a way that I healed myself. It's a medicinal plant that grows from the ground, and it has these great...
And you're not alone. I think the point is you are literally not alone, and the shame is what it has done is kept women closeted, and so they don't know there are other people who are using this in the same exact way. So I think the conversations we're having in this world that we've created is really powerful. So it's a generational thing. So we're crushing it right now. All right. So we do have our special segment guest, and we have more to talk about Rachel's, what's her like album and the things she's doing and more of her creative stuff. So we're going to come back with her on the other side, but we're going to be talking to the mother-daughter duo I introduced earlier from Massachusetts behind the Green Lady Dispensary out in, and Nantucket in Newton. So welcome Nicole and Clea Campbell. Welcome to my show. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having us, Joyce.
Okay, so you're kind of listening in on the conversation. You're a whole mother-daughter kind of connection. So we really only have like 10 minutes. So we were going to talk about the Urban Hearth Dinner, which I mentioned earlier, but I guess you're doing some educational things now. So you want to kind of talk about that a little bit and how you're trying to help, again, crush the stigma. It shouldn't exist. How do we make sure people see us? And it's got to be just as accessible as any other substance that people consume all day long, every day. So who wants to go first? And introduce yourselves. Yeah.
Well, my name's Clea. I am the daughter of the duo. So, and I've also been kind of the person on camera when it comes to the educational series. Sorry, our phone's going off. Yeah. So basically our whole thing with the educational series on TikTok is just like we've been talking about, breaking the stigma, making people feel comfortable with it. It's definitely not easy considering the fact that there is still restrictions, even on Instagram and TikTok. You can't say certain words. You might get your account flagged for even discussing the word about cannabis.
I mean, I'm not on TikTok. They keep taking me down, so I haven't even tried. So that's interesting. But again, like we just had this conversation. You got, if you don't know, Nantucket and Newton are just like Washington, D.C. There's a lot of like the ladies who aren't going to like be accepting if you aren't the right person. So they have a beautiful dispensary right in the middle, right in the center.
But the
you're breaking this idea. And then once people see it, like when they see me, they're like, oh, how can I use it? What can I do for? So is that, all right, so that's the kind of stuff you're doing?
Yeah, and that was kind of the whole idea with the Urban Hearth Dinner, which we still definitely are going to be working on achieving. It's just an educational piece, making people feel comfortable. I mean, every time you go out for dinner, usually you'll get a cocktail or a glass of wine or a beer. And it should, we're hoping to get to a point where it becomes just as normalized to have a puff of a joint or take a little bit of an edible before dinner. I mean, it does go just as well together, but it's not talked about. And so breaking that stigma is super important to us for sure.
So what kind of things are you doing on, is it like you and your mom on there? Who's on there? Who's doing the videos?
I'm Nicole. I'm Clea's mom, and she's got the personality, the smile, and the laugh. So she's on social media.
We'd love to have you on.
Be on there together. Again, it's women our age and older who know the least. I'm 58 years old. I went to law school in Boston. I grew up here. I get what it's like here. It should be acceptable. It's healthier. And I'm sure you are the same thing. I could have literally yelled across my office, I'm stopping at the Packy before I do daycare. And people would have like been like, of course you are. But if I'd smoked a joint before I picked my kids up at daycare and someone smelled me, good. Yep. And it's wrong. Like, it's literally wrong. So again, if we exist, kind of crush the shame, and people will, and the thing is, everyone has a cannabis story. Everybody smokes pot. Everybody. So
it's true.
That's something I say working at the dispensary. You see so many people coming in and out. It goes across all races, genders, ethnicities, ages. I mean, it's one of the few things that seems just be appealing to all different types of people and all different types of backgrounds. And that's one of the things I like about it.
It's a Venn diagram, even politics. I got hemp farmers. I got like my ladies who are voodoo goddesses. I got everyone. They're all here, all together. All right. So maybe we want to talk about your dispensary. Just, I have been there. I made a little like reel of it when I was visiting. I just think it's so cute. I don't know who wants to talk about how you got there, maybe why you chose that location. What's it like on Nantucket? Like, who wants to start that?
Sure. Well, I'll do a quick background, a cute family story. My husband and I were a family business. My husband and I had been involved in a totally different industry. It was manufacturing fertilizers. I'd done that for 30 years. It was a desk job. I was so over it. I wanted to move on in my life. And I had a talk with my daughters. I have two daughters. And of course, they're not, weren't interested in the in that industry or continuing in that industry. So it was the same time that Massachusetts was legalizing cannabis. And we thought it was a great idea to change our lives up and get involved in the legal cannabis industry. And it's exciting for me to do it in my life as an older person. And it's exciting for my daughters as young people entering the business world. So we first opened on Nantucket in 2019, which is now, it's our 5-year anniversary. So we're open 5 years on Nantucket.
So this is, again, I talk about this a lot. Massachusetts local rule. Every community gets to decide who comes in, make all sorts of crazy demands on you. So when you came into Nantucket, were they like, great, we love you? Or are they like, we're not sure, we're putting you really far away from the people so no one can find you? How did they treat you? And how did they, again, I think you and me, we're kind of women who can represent this in a different way. How did you represent it and why did they accept you?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. Every city and town is different, and like, they're different kinds of people. I think Nantucket is a little bit, a little background. There's about 17,000 people that live on this island year round, and they're very different than like the summer residents that come to the island. They're blue collar workers, hardworking people. So they're a little bit more of the rebel, and they voted overwhelmingly for the legalization of cannabis. So I think this community was more supportive about cannabis all in all, and they want to have access on the island to things that everybody takes for granted on mainland Massachusetts, right? But it's very hard. I mean, there's one grocery store here, right? So like, I'm excited when I go off the island and I'm like, wow, I can go to like this grocery store or that grocery store. I have choices about groceries.
And so, you live there? Is that where you live during the year, all year on Nantucket?
I've been living here, yes, all year round. And meanwhile, Clea there, she's been living in the Newton. So she's a Newton resident who's enjoying the suburban life out there.
That's a fun little story. I wish I had more time to talk to you. All right. So let's talk a little bit more about, I just love Nantucket. I love these both. Okay. So talk about Newton. I've been to the Newton store. I actually went to high school in Chestnut Hill. That's kind of my hood. So what did Newton say to you? I don't know what the pushback could have been. Did they think you're going to be like drama and chaos, or were they like welcoming you in? How did they treat you?
There's definitely more NIMBYs in Newton. A lot of more people who are more conservative backgrounds and more concerned that a dispensary will bring down their property values,
right,
and stuff
the
like
property
that.
Values.
Property values. I know. This did not happen in Newton, but I literally had people scream at me in my face, comparing a cannabis dispensary with a porn shop. Like, I've literally had people who are that.
And sadly, you are not the only person I've spoken to. A lovely human being who has had people say that to them. So they're always afraid for the children. And this is really something else. So anyway, yeah, so you've had that happen, but you persevered. So what happened in Newton? Did they push back or say?
So it was definitely more difficult, and there was a lot more vocal opponents there. But one thing that happened to us was when we had started the process, it was right before COVID. So COVID kind of like shut everything down. That was when nobody even knew what like a Zoom meeting was, and nobody could like figure out to do things over Teams. So that just took a very long time to get through everything and made everything extended and take longer. But I think there's like what you're saying at the end of the day, Joyce, is that there's a lot of very supportive people out there. They're just afraid sometimes to use their voice in support, right? They want to be more cautious about voicing their support for us. So overall, I think the Newton community is great. We love being in the middle of the town there with the vibes. People do a lot of walking, a lot of little shops, supporting small businesses. So it's been a really nice location to be.
It's got parking. This is the other crazy thing. It cannabis businesses have so many requirements on them. And that is such a great location because it's right in the middle and you actually can walk to it. But you had to have parking, right? I mean,
yes, yeah. There's so many options being in. Yes, it's lovely.
It is right around the corner.
Right. It's a great location. Okay, so let's see. So for the videos, for the YouTube, is there anything like any specific messages you're trying to get out there? Are you looking for help to get more messages out? Do you want more older women to come on and talk about it on YouTube? Mm-hmm. What are you looking for?
We're going to need you to come on as a guest.
All right.
Talk with that. Yeah, I guess the whole thing about the Green Lady is just like really focusing on cannabis education and just focusing on customer service and providing like the highest level of quality, like not just with the products, but with the service we provide. So I feel like with cannabis, people are still learning about it. They're still educating themselves about it. So it's just really important that people get exactly what they're looking for. Otherwise, they can have a not so great time, just like if you drink too much alcohol or I don't know, some people, certain things affect them different ways. So now it's just about, once again, making sure it becomes normalized and helping people find the things that help them the best, especially when it comes to most problems we find is like sleep or pain. Like we just want to make sure we're getting what they need. And so that's the kind of the point of the series that we're doing on TikTok and YouTube is just providing another outlet for people so that they can find exactly what they need.
Even like letting people know what there is. Like I take a lot of my friends to dispensaries. That's kind of like how I've been spending my time because you walk in, you have to show two IDs. It seems a little illicit.
Yeah.
You're not sure what any of the products do. Everything is very expensive, including the tax. So you want to be making sure you know what you're buying. And the thing is, women know how to shop. Like, we know how to do this. We just need a little guidance. So what I tell people in marketing is, if you connect with us and you prove that your product works, we'll come back and buy it again. Because we want something that helps us sleep. All my friends have issues with sleep.
Yeah.
And everybody's got issues with pain.
Yeah.
So just market to us, people. Market to us. All right. So people want to find you on YouTube or if they want to actually visit you in real life, IRL, what is it? In real life? How do they find you?
Yeah, visit us at www.thegreenladydispensary.com. You can find everything you need there.
All right, ladies. Thank you. Hope to get a visit it soon. That's exciting. Take a little sip out today. Suck it. Boil, whatever. Yeah. All right. We are back with Rachel Burns. Let's talk a little bit more about what you're doing. You said you're doing your work down in Washington, D.C. with your creative. What else are you doing? I know maybe you had an LP. I heard there was other things going on that you're really trying to use your energies for.
Yeah, I just help a lot with different nonprofits, music nonprofits, arts nonprofits, health nonprofits. So I'm doing a lot of that. And then we have our band that we go out and play. So you can catch us at Rachel Burns Music on social media. And so it's just a really empowering woman empowerment band. And we have a lot of funny, I know you're a Joe Biden fan, so am I. We have a lot of really funny Trump, anti-Trump stuff. Like I have a song called Tiny Hands that's pretty funny. Very John Waters-esque on YouTube. And then Sundown, the Macho Man, and Mansplaining. And I've got a lot of really funny songs. So
you'll need to do some like the cannabis songs and like getting people in there and understanding what it really is. Because, you know, people hear honestly, it's humor. I think it's a humor that opens up people's heads the most to this. It's either healing. It's like they've actually used it to heal themselves and they're like evangelized or pissed off. Or somebody makes a joke. I don't know. So it opens up your space and you're like, oh, I don't hate this person. Maybe what they're telling me is true. I don't know. The humor, I don't understand why it works psychologically, but it really does seem to cross boundaries.
Definitely. It's the way to open it up. And yeah, so I have two songs that I sing live about cannabis in our shows. One is called When I Get Low, I Get High. It's an old 1920s, 30s song, but I do a little twist on it. And we have like this very dramatic ending where I'm sobbing and then I like take a joint out of my tits and like pass it around to the whole band. And we have a really fun time on stage doing that. And then they have another one called Heal and Jive that we do that's really upbeat. And again, that has a very dramatic ending because I'm an opera singer first. And then And then I have a single coming out that called Inchworm. It's a take on Danny Kaye's Inchworm from the 60s, but it's very psychedelic and trippy. It's like more of a one to listen to when you're on indica or if you've taken maybe some mushrooms or something. So it's a really fun, like transformative song. So that's going to be out hopefully on 420. So,
oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's like something I've never, ever done before. So
that's fun. And what was that song back in the 70s I listened to? I'm Woman, Hear Me Roar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh. We do all of those songs. We do like I'm Every Woman and I Will Survive. And I have.
Oh, yeah. I Will Survive.
Yeah. And these women I've been singing with my whole life since we were 13. Oh. And we have a really, really great, powerful soul sound to us. So it's really great. And they all get termed. They're like Chaka Khan singers. And like they just really like are beautiful voices. So
I love it.
Work the crowd. We have cordless mics. We kind of work it like a drag show a little bit, but with women. And we get really dressed up and make people laugh. And that's the best way to get through life, right? Is to roll a joint and laugh with people. So we try to encourage that.
Oh, no, that is so. Oh, that's so fun, Rachel. All right. What do I have? I do have a couple more minutes. I mean, is there anything else you're like talking about just in terms of your breast cancer work or anything else you want to highlight? Or do you want to sing a song for us? I don't know. I love the 70s stuff. I literally grew up in the 70s. So that was like the soundtrack to my feminist mother's life.
I'll sing my autobiographical ode to you.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, it's funny. Okay, this one's called Hangy Sallies.
Well, here's to my old Hangy Sallies, who used to hang long and low, always a hit at the party, carelessly putting on a show. When I walked, they bounced, they jiggled. When I ran, they'd smack me in the eye. Ow! But those big old Hangy Sallies, all they had to say goodbye. Ever since they first started butting, they were more trouble than worth. The boys stared agape in wonder. The girls, they called me a flirt. Whenever I shared my ideas or spoke words wise or kind, most folks didn't bother to listen. No, they had two things on their mind. Those Sallies hung low. Don't you know? Those Sallies hung low, but they had to go. Well, they plumped up more for my babies and gave them quite a drink. Till one of those Sallies grumbled, there's a lump inside me, I think. Well, the doctor said, what a bummer. It's a tragedy, a shame, that those big old Hangy Sallies, oh, they'd have to go away. But my back's no longer breaking from the weight of those bra straps. And the party tricks are over when I make them wiggle, waggle, then clap. Woo! And I no longer find leftover popcorn or can use my bra like a purse. Big old Hangy Sallies days are over, but it could have been much, much worse. Those Sallies hung low. Don't you know? Those Sallies hung low and they had to go.
Yeah. That is like a Cannonbomb show first. I have never had a live production. Spirit is up in the ante, dude. The fun show, ladies. Thank you. I have to cut that up on YouTube. All right, so that's another show. Another show, that's all we got. All right, thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Clea. Thank you, Nicole. And so thank you for my guest. And of course, my Cannonbro, David Yaz. And of course, you, my Cannonbro team. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to the Cannonbro Show. We're on a mission to enhance the impact women have in the emerging cannabis industry by sharing and preserving their stories of love, kindness, wisdom, and hope. Thank you for listening and sharing these amazing stories so that together, we'll crush the stigma around cannabis and caregivers. I'm your host, Joyce Gerber. That's the Cannonbro Show. And we're a production of Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Hi, I'm Gary, and I invite you to discover the Cannabis Podcast, a bi-weekly podcast focused on a Canadian's cannabis culture. I would be the Canadian, and my cannabis passion and culture has been building for 5 decades. I share that passion for this wonderful plant in every episode, through conversations with cannabis advocates and enthusiasts, stories about the ever-changing legal environment, and some hands-on testing of product in a segment I call Cultivar Corner. The Cannabis Podcast, a Canadian's cannabis culture, one token at a time.